This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and Sirius XM Channel 371.
By the way, I said I made a mistake here. We always deal in transparency here on Packer and Durham. At least we try to. It's a pillar of our program.
We try to get it right.
That's it. I said Kenny Payne would be here at 8:30 today. That is incorrect. He is not here at 8:30 today. We hope to have Kenny Payne this week. Miscommunication on my part, and I apologize. We will have Pat Narduzzi, and I think if I'm right, we are going to have Muffet McGraw at 9 o'clock.
Yeah, Muffet.
Yeah, getting all that straight. I know what else we've got right now is a lengthy
Whew.
Best of the weekend list.
This took a lot of time this week.
We're going to start with Coach K win 1,299 in NCAA tournament play.
Pretty strong. He's got 20 more NCAA tournament wins than anybody on the planet Earth ever. 99. And boy, 100 is not going to be easy with Texas Tech Thursday night in my city of San Francisco. But how about 1,200 career wins, huh? Pretty sweet number.
Yeah. Really unbelievable.
What a game.
Yeah. And the kind of game, quite frankly, when you build enough momentum, Duke, guess what? That game can take you some places. That one's got a lot on it. To the women's game, Notre Dame's Olivia Miles is the first freshman ever.
Since Dirt.
With a triple-double in the men's or women's championship.
Strong statement, isn't it?
That is a lot. How about that? Man.
She is so tough. Irish take care of business, as you mentioned. They play today, actually tonight technically, at Oklahoma,
yep.
6 p.m. Winner moves on. Yeah. Survive and advance.
How about that? Good for Olivia Miles and great for Neil Ivey. We told you there'd be swimming. There is swimming. And it's Central at the University of Virginia. They won their second straight women's swimming and diving national championship over the weekend in Atlanta, finishing with 145.5 points ahead of Texas. That's all you need to know, huh?
I mean, totally dominated. Now, we've interviewed a number of the Virginia swimmers.
Yep.
Like I said, man, the who's in the water are tough. Swimming, diving, rowing.
Yep.
Who's in the water, man? You better watch out.
Yep. So congratulations to Virginia. That's a terrific, terrific mark and dominant performance in the pool in Atlanta to win the national championship. This morning, Hayden Hidley becomes the first five-time All-America in NC State wrestling history.
Good for him.
Brothers of Destruction making news, huh?
Yep. Love it.
Yeah. Nice moment, though, over the weekend in Detroit. Hayden with Quint Kesnick talking about his brother.
I came back for this extra year to be with my brother, and I went up a few weight classes, and I wrestled last night against Sirachi, and I got the crap kicked out of me, and wake up this morning, and you got to go through this tournament. I call it the Wasteland Invitational, because everybody hurts, everybody feels dead, but everybody keeps fighting. And I wrestled against a warrior, and he's the toughest guy in this room, and it's a great way to finish my career.
Tell you, we've had a great time with him on the show.
Mm-hmm.
All of them. I mean, I give nothing but props to the ACC wrestlers, the coaches and the wrestlers. Man, you guys are awesome on the show.
Yep.
The Friday night duels have become a staple on this network.
Mm-hmm.
And I know NC State wanted to close a little bit stronger in Detroit, but nevertheless, still, Pat's got a great program. Virginia Tech comes through strong, too. And the league's really, really good, man.
Yeah.
Really good.
Catherine Burkhoff of NC State.
How about this?
Fastest time ever in the 100-yard backstroke.
That's why that's got to be on the list. When you do something and the word ever is tied into it, you're normally going to be on the list.
Yeah. The people that do this and do it at a high level are amazing human beings.
Can you do the backstroke?
Can I do the backstroke?
I can't do the backstroke.
Well, you proved that in the Turks and Caicos.
Yeah, absolutely. I almost died. I saw the Lord up in the sky in Turks and Caicos. I said, God, of all the jokes I've made about the ocean, are you taking me out here now?
Was that the backstroke you were doing?
I was. I mean, I was getting pounded with waves. That didn't work out well at all. I cannot do the backstroke.
Yeah.
Can you do the backstroke?
Competitively?
No, I mean, if I dumped you into a pool, could you make it to the end?
Yes.
You
yes.
could, doing the backstroke?
Yes.
Wow, good for you.
I mean, I don't know if it would be technically sound. But
I don't care if it's did you drown? That's how. Here's how it technically works in swimming. Did you drown? If the answer is no, you're technically correct.
Yeah, I could do that.
Okay, good.
I'd get
you.
There without drowning.
I don't have that. I don't have that
in a pool, yes. Back and if time. Not, I'd just walk the rest of the way.
there you go. Now we get the truth.
We told you there was 1-2 women's lacrosse on our family of networks this weekend. And yesterday it delivered. North Carolina defeated Boston College. That was 2-1, 16-15. The final, the Eagles rallied but could not overcome Jenny Levy's group.
Tell you what, my girl Charlotte North only had 4 goals
only,
in this
only
game.
Only 4, yeah.
But North Carolina held on. That. This was kind of like the Baylor game a little bit in basketball. North Carolina had a big lead, and here came BC, and they had a chance to tie it late. Couldn't quite do it. Great win. Again, 1-2. It doesn't get any better than that.
Alumni Stadium, by the way, had about 6,000 people there to see the match with Carolina and Boston College.
They're going to see each other again.
Oh, yeah. At least once, right?
Yeah, feels that way.
Miami only had 7 turnovers in 2 NCAA tournament games this weekend in Greenville, South Carolina.
Think guard play is important? There's the answer to your question.
7. 7 turnovers in 2 games.
They value the basketball.
So good.
And you know what? Like I said, what Jim Larrañaga did to Bruce Pearl last night was criminal. He just said, hey, I'm going to spread you and see how you can handle my guards because your guards stink. Compared to my guys.
Can we replay the Isaiah Wong dunk just for fun,
oh,
by the way?
Man,
can we just show that one more time?
Are we allowed to? We're only allowed to X amount of minutes.
Oh, is that right?
We can only show Wong dunking on the Jabari Smith future NBA first pick. God, that was an incredible
You play. Know, they're guys that are getting T-shirts made of things they did in the game with this NIL thing. Like, you remember the Justin Mutz dunk in the tournament over Banchero? There's a T-shirt out now with that.
Watch this.
Isaiah Wong, get you a T-shirt, son. Bam. Bam. Oh, God. My God. I mean, ugh.
And that is a great player and athlete he just went up against. 6'10".
Look, he hit the bounce in 2 steps and punched it.
They, I can tell you, they woodshed in Auburn. That was impressive. They said, oh,
is that your favorite win of the tournament so far?
For the league?
Yeah.
How do you pick between this weekend's games? I mean, North Carolina beating a number 1 seed.
Yeah, that was good.
Duke, Michigan State was just a phenomenal basketball
game. I'll let you think about it.
That's a hard call.
All right, you got to have an answer by the end, though.
Gosh.
By 10 o'clock, got to have an answer. Louisville women's hoops off to the Sweet 16. Man, does Jeff Walls know what he's doing.
5 straight.
Yep, 5 straight trips to the Sweet 16. Yum Center, great crowd last night for the Gonzaga game.
Number 2 seed eliminated in your region. Life, if you're a Louisville Cardinal now, you're looking around going, boy, we could not have scripted a better case scenario heading into the next week of the tournament.
Emily Inksler, terrific. We told you Haley Van Lith. Congratulations to the Cards. Look forward to watching them next week. All right, even in a losing effort at College Park the other day, the ACC Player of the Year went next level. Liz Kitley finished with 42 points in an 84-81 loss in the opening round at Xfinity Center for Virginia Tech against Florida Gulf Coast.
Remember what Kelly Gramlich told us on the show? She goes, you know, with her size, she had no idea how Florida Gulf Coast is going to stop her. Well, the answer is they didn't.
Right.
42. Unfortunately for the Hokies, they just could not close the deal.
Yeah, you look at the box score of this game, Kitley was – everybody else kind of had a tough day around her.
Yeah.
Anything, and you know what? These are all tough experiences when it does. And remember, it's only going to work for one team at the end. But the tough experience for Virginia Tech, I'd really be fascinated to hear Kenny Brooks talk about this next year in relationship to the way this season ended, because they had a really good year. And again, the finality of the thing is hard. But Liz Kitley finishes on an incredibly high note, 42 points now. Goodness gracious.
Well, not to mention what she's accomplished academically.
No doubt.
I mean, we talk about what she does from an athletic standpoint, but she's a perfect example of what Virginia Tech's all about and what this league's all about with the, quote, student athlete.
There you go. Carolina is in the Sweet 16 for a record 30th time after the win against Baylor.
It's pretty good, right? 30 of these?
By the way, I remember in the 80s when it became like normal.
And that game Saturday, the one against number one seed Baylor, I already told you it's now the ninth time they've beaten the number one seed, tying them with Duke. North Carolina now also has 128 NCAA tournament wins. They are one away from the leader, which is Kentucky. Hmm. And the last time I checked, Kentucky's on the couch. So they'll be at 129 and holding while the Heels play this week.
Carolina went to 13 straight Sweet 16s in the 80s. That was just in the early 90s.
Yeah, Dean Smith was pretty good, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He kind of knew what was going on.
Kind of worked out for him most of the time, didn't it? Yeah. Deja Kelly, 28 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists in the 13-point win over Stephen F. Austin. Now, they needed Deja Kelly to go get 28 because Stephen F. Austin was throwing in threes from all over the place in the ball game.
They were.
This ball game was not decided really until the fourth quarter, Pat.
Happy for Courtney Banghart.
Absolutely.
Of course, she's had some tough luck in the first round of the ACC tournament, of course, getting that W. And I saw a video of her walking out with her kids with the band playing going to that game. And I was thinking about pajama day.
Yeah, that's it.
We had a good time with her, all that stuff.
Louisville, eighth straight ACC baseball conference opening win.
Yeah, since they've joined the conference, Wes, and we get into ACC play, and there's Notre Dame wearing those ugly green. They didn't listen to me from a year ago.
Don't wear the all greens?
All greens don't look good.
Okay,
I'm sorry.
All right.
I know it's St. Patty's Day, all that nonsense. But Louisville, ever since they've joined the conference, every opening ACC game to start the season, they've won.
Yeah.
Every one of them. They had a big weekend, too, by the way. You'll see this coming up later.
Cards. A lot of teams have big weekends in baseball. NC State Woodshop?
Yes.
One step at a time?
Do you not see the video of this? Look at that. No. Watch this. There's our man, Wes Moore. Check him out.
Okay.
He's got a buddy who's made a step. And his point to his team was, hey, one game, one step at a time.
Aha.
And so NC State, Wes Moore's neighbor, made this for him.
Okay.
A little step.
All right.
So I'm giving NC State's woodshop class there a little thumbs up.
All right. We'll have to find out more about that from Coach Moore, won't we?
Yeah. He's got to take it with him
tonight. Got to have another step tonight, I guess.
They host K-State 4 p.m. this afternoon. One step at a time, NC State.
I hear you.
Don't worry about UConn. They're really good. We know about all the rants and raves about Bridgeport one step at a time.
Right.
That's the message from Wes Moore.
Tommy White back in the news.
Finally.
A couple of home runs against Florida State on Sunday.
Yeah, he hit two in one game yesterday. And then these two teams decided to play 17 innings of the second game of the doubleheader. 17 innings. A West Durham special. If only you were on the call.
Yeah,
for that
you
game.
Betcha. You betcha. Yeah.
What do you think that game might have run long?
Oh.
I might have run right into our 12:30 a.m. show here on ACC Network.
Might have, yeah. Stay tuned. Highlights on All ACC at 12:30. Kyle Teal had his third Grand Slam of the season for Virginia.
I tell you what now. Tommy White, real quick. I know that's a Grand Slam. That's number three of the year for Teal. But Jake Yeloff has hit 12 bombs this year. We may have to have this on our show. The Tommy White, Jake Gelof, tater total.
Tater total. Nice. Yeah,
because Gelof's now got 12, and Tommy White's got 11. And
all right.
The Hoos, by the way, are knocking the daylights out of the baseball.
Well, get ready.
Good grief. They scoring runs.
Nobody's pitching it. Nobody is pitching the ball right now in ACC baseball.
That's not true.
Pitching coaches are like
that is not
face plants.
You need to be you need to get a better attitude to
really?
Baseball.
You know how I know? Roll the next score bar up here. Wake Forest, Virginia Tech, and Clemson scored 20 or more runs in a game.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah? I'm being too hard on pitching?
Well, I mean, listen, if you were paying attention, you'd have known that Miami had great pitching the first two games of this series.
I know Miami.
And shut them down.
Every once in a while.
They just happened to give up 20 yesterday.
Okay. That's what look at this. Now, by the way, Georgia Tech led a game the other day 3-0. And Wake Forest finished with 27 runs.
Yeah, well, Georgia Tech scored 3 in the first, and then they kind of got away
what
from
it. What are we doing?
27-7, I think, was the final score of the game.
Goodness gracious. All right. Now, let's get to the wrestling.
I just hope you get the phone call. Wes, we believe that you should be doing some baseball games.
All right. Let's get to ACC wrestling, shall we? Because we had a lot of optimism in Detroit, and after day one, things were looking really good. We had ACC wrestlers, four podium finishes. Kazan Clark and Makai Lewis finished second in their weight classes. Okay? Now, that's the good news. Those guys were there. Now, they're not the only ones that were decorated coming out of Detroit. Here's Corbin Myers of Virginia Tech. These are All-America ACC wrestlers. Corbin Myers finished sixth. Cole Matthews, fifth. Clark, second. Adonia of Virginia Tech, third. Tariq Wilson, seventh. Austin O'Connor, last year's national champion, eighth. Makai Lewis, second. You see Hydeley. Hayden finished third. Trent finished fifth. Clay Lout, eighth at 174. That's the All-America list out of the more than three dozen invitationals that the ACC had at the championship.
Congrats to all of them. I know we've got a number of those guys on the show. Like I said earlier, the coaches and the wrestlers in this league have been awesome to talk to on Packer and Durham, so we congratulate all of them.
All right. So that's the best of the weekend. That's one of our longest lists.
We got one more.
We do?
We got one more. We got. You can't leave this one off because I started laughing out loud at this one last night.
Yes.
This one was not on the list until about 10 o'clock last night. And I heard it in the background. I went, oh, man, are you kidding? Are we
doing this? Huh?
Are we really doing this?
Yeah, they did. You're right. The ACC, ACC, ACC chant in Greenville.
Almost the mocking ACC chant.
I think it was.
It was total troll job. This had nothing to do with anything, because you never hear this. Seriously, you
don't.
Hear this in an ACC competition.
Yep.
And I heard it last night, and I turned up the volume. I went, wow, are we really going there?
Yeah.
We are, and that so happened. Are we. So we put it on the best of list.
That's it.
For all the Auburn fans that, of course, you know, the league has never seen defense like you've seen the SEC.
That's it.
Good grief.
So there you go.
Not a clue.
Greenville, Bon Secours Wellness Arena, the ACC chant.
Gosh. It was a good night, though, for the league.
Luke DeCock reporting that Jim Phillips and Greg Sankey sat together last night at the media area.
They're going to need to. You know why?
Why's that?
Because all of them, I said it again, for a thousandth time.
Yeah.
While everybody's upset with the college football playoff, and we're not going to do this, it is going to happen. You know why?
Hmm.
Because the smartest people in the business will make it work eventually.
There you go.
There you go.
I agree. Those would be two of the smartest right there.
No doubt about it.
When we come back, the best of the weekend, very lengthy. Worst of the weekend, fortunately, not so much. There are a few things, including Donnie Epley continuing to explain officiating calls in Fort Worth. Oh, and a tough week for Hokies. We'll come back. More to come. Packer and Durham's Monday on the Atlantic Coast Conference Television Network.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Pack, it's midnight tonight for all ACC.
They can handle it.
Yeah, they got it. Right at midnight, following the conclusion of NCAA men's and women's basketball coverage, women principally, tonight. Midnight for a fresh edition, right out of the oven of all ACC. There is a report that our crew, our production folks, will be involved in this and then just kind of sleep on a cot near the control room to join us in the morning.
Better hope we don't have any overtime games tonight.
Could get you into the middle of the night, couldn't it?
It could get you past. It could get you into Tuesday.
Yeah, there you go. All ACC coverage tonight at midnight following second round action in the women's NCAA basketball tournament on ACC Network. Streaming live on the app, by the way.
Right, again, three ACC women's teams in action today trying to punch their ticket to the Sweet 16 to join Louisville. We'll see. Right. Give us plenty to talk about again tomorrow.
Coming up, sound from the weekend. You're going to love that and more.
Worst of the weekend. Unfortunately, there are some things to be mentioned.
Okay. Let's start with Virginia Tech. We'll just clear the path early here on the Hokies. And I know disappointment sets in. You win the title in Brooklyn. You're excited about your women's team, and poof.
Gone.
Just like that.
One and done.
The finality hits hard now. Both the men's and women's teams eliminated in their first NCAA tournament games. And for the ladies, upset decision to Florida Gulf Coast. For the men, a loss to Texas.
Again, the Hokies men's team was one of the 11 seeds. I said last week I loved all four of the 11s. And three of them won. Unfortunately, for Virginia Tech, they were the one that did not.
Yeah.
On the ladies' side, five getting upset by a 12. So, been better weekends of Hokie hoops, no doubt.
Absolutely. Okay, let's check the card in the National Invitation Tournament. Now, you know that Baylor, Carolina, lots of free throws, lots of fouls.
53 fouls in the North Carolina Baylor game.
Well, VCU and Wake Forest would like to have a word with you. They had 49.
Eesh.
What are we doing?
Hacking.
Wow.
A lot of hacking going on. Of course, VCU is going to get on you, right? They're going to press, press, and Wake wants to run.
Yeah, so and, I guess it
But
it
the
does.
Good news, though, the boys in Switzerland move on, and I believe they get Buzz Williams, do they not?
They do. Yeah, Buzz has wrapped up his comments at the podium and is ready to welcome Wake Forest this week.
Buzz had all those good wins against teams that lost to seeds 10, 11, 11, 11, and 15 in the NCAA tournament. Just saying.
Oof. Miami scored 33 points at South Carolina yesterday.
It was offensive. Seriously. That game yesterday was offensive to watch. Told you. I think Don's got a great program at South Carolina, no doubt. Great program.
Right.
But if you like watching the ball actually go in the basket, this might have been the last thing you'd ever want to watch. Mm. Neither team was very good offensively. Oof. Neither team.
Yep. Tough one. Tough way to end, by the way.
Yeah.
But 25-point second half leads. Oh.
That's why it's the worst of the weekend.
That's not good.
You're up 25 in a second. That's got to be an easy W, doesn't it, Wes?
Well.
You're up 25 in a second. Gosh, this game was nuts.
Was this game drunk?
This game was drunk. Seriously. But it was the first game out of the gate on Saturday.
I know.
Like a lot of folks are
National
having their
game.
Lunch going, all right, man, we got a full day of hoops.
Yeah.
And Caleb, we'll just kind of ease into the day. No, wrong answer. Baylor, North Carolina, out of the chute, we're getting after each other.
I like how you set this up on the copy, too. You put the 25-point second-half leads, and then you rolled it right behind it with officiating.
Yeah.
You're just not going to let the good thing go, are you?
No,
just going to keep rolling, aren't
you? I had
you?
Some guy on Twitter go, Pac, I bet you ain't got the guts to talk about officiating. I said, dude, you haven't watched me do a show before. You don't know
you
what
and officiating
dude, you
have
don't
long
know
been
what
fun.
You're talking about. You're as out of touch as that Auburn guy talking about, well, the ACC ain't seen defense like we play in our league. You got it, big man. The officiating in this game was atrocious. How about that?
You don't expect those guys to move on?
No, they moved on. They're going to be on the couch with Chester and Fuller and the rest of us watching the rest of the games. Like I said earlier, I think the officiating in the NCAA tournament has been pretty good.
Yeah.
This game, however, did not fall under that category. This was awful. Terrible officiating.
Yeah, not good. We already told you. 53 fouls.
It got away from
way
them.
Too many
it
free
got
throws.
Away from them, and they didn't know how to figure it out.
Yeah, that's it.
What a game, though. Yeah. Holy mackerel, what a game.
What a game. Virginia's lacrosse team went to Maryland, and not good. 23-12, the final.
Yeah, Lawrence is not going to be happy with this. Now, Maryland's really good. Obviously, this is 1-2. We had a couple 1-2 matchups, right? We highlighted that on Friday's show. North Carolina, BC on the women's side, and Virginia and Maryland on the men's side. And, boy, I tell you what, the Terps just got after him. And Lars and the boys, I got to do a little soul searching after this one. I know it's only one game. Hope to see these guys somewhere down the road when it really matters.
Mm-hmm.
But that was not the best of times for the defending national champions.
Next up, Notre Dame's men's hoop. No field goals late. Scoring drought as well. Texas Tech scored 10 in a row. And the Irish this morning on a plane back to South Bend.
Yep. Irish led 52-49. 2 minutes to go in a game. Blake Wesley at the line. He misses a free throw. And the next thing you know, Texas Tech goes on a 10-0 run, as you mentioned, Wes. But the thing that a lot of folks, if you didn't see the game, Texas Tech made one of their last 11 shots and went on a 10-0 run.
Right.
That should tell you everything you need to know about this game. Texas Tech couldn't throw it in the ocean, and Notre Dame was just really, really uncharacteristically sloppy with the basketball when it mattered the most down the stretch.
The interesting piece for this is that Notre Dame had chances, and it just did. They couldn't convert.
They had the lead.
And the wrong time to have the drought at the end.
Chances. You're up three with 2 minutes to go. Yeah. And if you're Mike Bray, you couldn't have scripted that to be in a
better case. Well, you had, three turnovers in five possessions?
Blake Wesley had back-to-back turnovers. Yeah. And it was just a miserable finish. Yeah. But still a terrific year, though, for Notre Dame basketball. Again, like I said, tied for second in the ACC regular season, win a couple NCAA tournament games, but woulda, coulda, shoulda. They were really close to being in the Sweet 16.
You got down here at the bottom of the list. Bama and Auburn meet ACC basketball.
Yeah, welcome, boys, all you folks down there. It's time for some spring football down there in Alabama. Welcome to ACC basketball, y'all. Alabama, what were they, six seed?
Jekyll Hyde.
Six seed?
Jekyll and Hyde.
I said they're the goofiest, wildest team I saw all year.
Yeah.
Notre Dame beat them after about 6 hours of sleep. And then Auburn, the SEC regular season champ, got out-coached, outplayed, and woodshedded in the upstate. But the good news is that private planes flew you back. Got that going for you. You didn't have to go up and down I-85.
We have one last worst of the weekend. It was reported during the Final Four coverage that Pete Gillen might have passed away.
Rex Chapman, and I'll give him full credit on this because he said it.
Oh, my God.
Rex was going through some dissertation about Providence basketball and, man, Pete Gillen, da-da-da-da-da, what a great coach, man, we're going to miss him. May he rest in peace. I'm like, hey, he not only is he not dead, he actually works for the network that you're working for. So Pete Gillen, former Virginia coach, alive and well, glad to say.
By the way, Barry Henson, who he's pictured with, one of the great guys.
Yeah.
You ever had some of Barry? Barry's got barbecue sauce. When he coached at SIU, he had a ton of barbecue sauce. It was great.
I'm just glad Pete's okay.
Yeah.
Pete know the feeling. I remember that guy that called our show when we first started.
Charlie.
Yeah, Charlie.
Charlie. Yeah.
Well, I bet your daddies are looking down and proud of what you two are doing. I thought Billy had passed away. I'm like, what? What, huh?
All right. On the other side, a special NCAA tournament edition of Conference Cuts. Kind of the best sound of the weekend. Conference Cuts, National Collegiate Athletic Association, allotted media time. With the student athletes. Next.
Packer and Durham. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham on a crazy Monday. There's so much going on. Again, Pat Narduzzi's coming up here in 15 minutes talking about football.
Yeah, we're going to pit Pro Day 1 o'clock here on ACC Network. Kenny Pickett going to sling it. He already did in Indianapolis. Going to do some more. E.J. Manuel, I'll have coverage of that for you. Todd McShay will join us as well in Pittsburgh on the Pro Day. All right, sound from the weekend. You ready?
Let's do it.
All right, Jim Larrañaga after the game. Charles Barkley, this one's for you.
Well, to begin with, I was tuned into the games before us, and I listened to Charles Barkley tell the CBS crew that if Auburn won, he would take off his shirt. And I thought to myself, man, no one wants to see that, Chuck. So we did everything possible to make it possible that he wouldn't have to do that.
All right.
That would be true.
Yeah. Coach L, do you know he's a big movie guy?
Yeah, I did know that.
Jim Larrañaga again.
Have you ever seen the movie Braveheart? You guys, I'm a big movie fan, and I love the movies. And so at halftime, I used a William Wallace quote, and I don't know if you'll remember, when he basically, you know, that his community was destroyed, and he ended up, you know, losing his wife and family and everything. And so he basically recruited an army. And on this one day, he pulled that army together and asked them, are you ready to go to war? Are you ready to fight for every thing that we stand for? And that's what I asked the guys at halftime. I said, look, it's a one-point game. Auburn is an outstanding team. We need to know what we're made of. Can we go out and battle them for the next 20 minutes and keep our dream alive?
That would be an emphatic yes, you can.
Mm-hmm.
Man, those guards are so good. Right? So good.
Oh, no question. It is the absolute foundation of what they're going to be and have been. You know, I mean, think about it. Advancing into this is great. But from here on, it's about those guys. It's about those three guys in particular. And yesterday, they got off to such a great start with those three guys. Wardenburg then, you know, had the banged hand. He and Jordan, I thought Jordan Miller was terrific too, by the way.
And they get the 11 seed Iowa State Cyclones, a team that won two games last year and this year in the Sweet 16.
Right.
So you are guaranteed a double-digit seeded team, guaranteed, in the Elite Eight.
Yeah, Otzelberger, by the way, has done a terrific job with that program.
Unbelievable.
All right, Coach K, after they picked up the win against Michigan State, 26 Sweet 16s, avoiding early round upsets, how much does that speak to your program?
I didn't know that. I don't, you know, I'm not playing games, so I don't know that. But, you know, I'm proud of the fact that we've been there for four decades, that we're at least knocking on the door. And five times the door let us completely in. And I got guys who want to win. You know, and our goal is to win the whole thing all the time, even if we're young. So it says a lot for the caliber of player that I've coached. And these guys are good players, but they're really good guys. So you don't go to those Sweet 16s just with talent. You do it with character. And that's what my teams have had. But it's not like I've given them that. You know, we've recruited that, and we've made use of it.
That would be an accurate statement, too. I'll go back to what we talked about leading off the show. The ACC now 42 consecutive NCAA tournaments with at least one team in the Sweet 16. The next closest conference is the Big 12, which is a great basketball league, with 23. I'll let that marinate a second when you start talking about consistency, excellence, the whole deal.
Yeah.
Enough said.
Jeff Walls next. A lot of early round upsets in the women's card. He was asked if it helps the women's game.
I think the 13 Louisville Cardinals team helped also. I mean, I'll throw it out there. I mean, our win over Baylor in the Sweet 16, we were a 27-point underdog for any of those that are interested. And then to go on and beat a Tennessee team, you know, which that's just tell you a little story, background story on that so you can thoroughly enjoy it. Like, we shared a hotel. First time, I've been in the NCAA tournament many times, been fortunate enough to move on to the Sweet 16, have never in my life shared a hotel with a team. And we shared a hotel with Tennessee that year. That's how much faith I think they had in us that we would beat Baylor. You know, and now all of a sudden you got two teams playing in the Elite Eight that we were breaking bread together each morning at breakfast.
Now that needs to get changed up.
I'll tell you what, you want to talk about the tournament evolving.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Yeah. Jeff Walls, by the way, with the quick spread from a NCAA tournament game of yesteryear, just threw it right on out there. We were 27-point underdogs.
By the way, do you know that, speaking of it, I don't gamble, right? I don't seldom, if ever, know what a line is in any game, real quick. But I got some email this morning blasted on me. Duke's an underdog this week. Did you know that?
Excuse me?
Duke is an
underdog. To Texas Tech?
Yes, they are.
Wow.
Did you know that?
No.
Hmm.
Huh.
Just saying.
Well, check with our production staff as the week evolves on those things.
Well, believe me, they will be very alert to where the line goes this week.
Early word, your friends at BPI favor Texas Tech.
Is that right? Did BPI have Auburn favored last night? Just asking. What was BPI's number for Auburn to win last night? Anybody know? Anybody back in Bristol know the answer to that?
We have our best people working on
it. Was it in the 60s, 70s, 80%?
I'm gonna go 70-something.
Think so?
Yeah. I'm going to say it was like 70, 71 BPI.
You think it'd be that high?
Yeah, I do, actually.
And the smart people are now hustling back there. This is great. They have to defend the BPI. I live for this. I live for the smart folks in Bristol.
Can I run the Mike Bray quote here real quick? So then we'll do the BPI. Here is Mike Bray talking about what I actually mentioned a moment ago. There are players that can come back, and what is that possibility, and has he thought about what next year's team looks like?
Great question, and you know, I told him, I said, you know, we have a bunch of guys here that have to make some decisions.
Auburn is 83.
The big thing is no one has to make that decision fast. We'll get back. We'll talk about it. I'm going to meet with all of you individually Tuesday and Wednesday next week, this week, and we'll work through it. And, you know, we've got level-headed guys. If everybody wants to test the waters, put your name in. Go ahead. Can I test the waters? No, I'm just kidding. You know, no, let everybody test the waters. Go ahead. See what, you know, and then we'll work through it. I'm very excited about what's coming. And then, you know, I've asked our assistants every day now that it's March, what's going on in the portal? Because we may pick off a few there. So I've kind of, Tom, I've mentally prepared myself that this is another process now that we're going to be in probably for 6 weeks, 2 months, maybe up till summer school. And we'll do the best we can, you know, trying to figure it. But it's, and each one of those guys I need to remember could be on their own schedule. And I'll respect that because, man, they gave us everything, and they had this year.
What a great answer to a very complex situation that every, not a lot, not some, every college basketball coach at Division I has to deal with.
How about announcers? How about us? How about
there's some in the portal. There have been some in the portal here recently. Have you noticed that?
Dude, yeah, you're right. Fox, ESPN, Monday Night Football.
Yeah.
That's why I keep saying to you in college hoops, let me know what the rosters look like in October. I can't figure any of this stuff out.
Yeah.
It's too crazy for me. But my pay grade.
Yeah. So we'll see.
Very high to begin with.
But he also talked about everybody's got their own schedule, and between now and the start of summer school, you know, they'll kind of do the checks and balances. Remember now, the NBA will be back on their schedule too, so some of these guys may put in, test the waters, don't sign with the agent, whatever. Now, heck, you can do that. You can sign the agent, return, or whatever you have, right? I mean, they've rewritten the rules two or three times and throw the COVID in there, and you got everything you want in this process. So it's going to be interesting to find out how Notre Dame and others, but the Irish are going to be of particular interest because they have a lot of guys that potentially could come back, a lot. And we're not just talking about Blake Wesley, who, by the way, is expected to turn pro. But, again, we'll see what happens. Quick check. BPI was 83% on Miami. It's a real shame we didn't get to that before the game.
Missed it by that much.
All right. I tell you what we're not going to miss. When we come back, we are off to Pittsburgh. It is pro day for the Panthers. Kenny Two Gloves is going to shoot it down the field a couple times. And we're going to check in with the head coach of the Panthers, who's not only got pro day, but spring ball and everything else unfolding right in front of him. We'll talk to the defending champion next, Pat Narduzzi on Packer and Durham.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Here comes Kenny Pickett emerging as a Heisman Trophy candidate.
He has now broken the Dan Marino single-season touchdown record.
That looks like Tony Romo rolling out.
Worth the price of admission.
Kenny Pickett bows to the crowd.
Coming up 1 o'clock this afternoon right here on ACC Network, our continuing coverage of Pro Days. And we're off to Pittsburgh. EJ Manuel and I will have coverage there. Todd McShay will join us as well on site as the Panthers go through their pro day drills and evaluations. And we'll have that for you on ACC Network and streaming live on the ESPN app.
Like it. A little football. Like I said, it's the best time of the year, man. A little bit of everything is going on.
Right.
It's really great.
And conveniently, we give you that promo. And welcome the head coach of the ACC champion Panthers. Pat Narduzzi dials us in this morning. Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm doing great. Good morning. You guys couldn't get rid of those basketballs sitting on that table? I mean, just
tell you what we do have. Let me tell you what I do have. That's a Narcoozy.
So, koozie, I guess.
Narcoozy. Yeah. This is exactly. Wes brought this back for me after doing a pit game, and I use it every day. My Narcoozy.
How's that? The Narcoozy.
So don't worry about the basketballs. We still got you covered.
You got your own name, and image, and likeness on a koozie, don't you?
That's good. And that pit helmet still behind Wes. You know, defending champs get center stage, my
it's
man.
It's right here, Pat.
Center stage.
Pat, it's right here.
I see it.
Okay. Come on now.
I like it.
All right. You get to pick here. I know Pro Day is an interesting day for a head football coach at the collegiate level. It's a little bit like the graduation process in football. But also, you're in the midst of spring. Your spring game is, what, 2 weeks away? I mean, you're not that far away, two and change, right?
Yeah, three weeks away from spring game, April 9th.
All right. So let's start there. How is spring ball so far for your team?
You know, it's been a back-and-forth battle between the offense and the defense. I think that overall, happy with where we are after six practices. Next Saturday, we'll have our first scrimmage. I think that'll be a telltale of what, you know, we're going to be.
Okay.
By the way, can you tell me Slovis's hand size? I need to know that.
You know, him and Patty both, I think, 7.5 inches, but we're trying to stretch it out and see if we can get them going.
All right.
Pat, seriously, is that the dumbest thing? Or is there listen, I'm not an NFL guy, right? I'm not a GM. I'm not a personnel guy. And I always get a kick out of the combine going, hey, why do we got offensive linemen running 40s? I don't want to see a big 700-pound dude running the 40. It'd be like me running a 40. That's not going to help you. But do you
Unless it's Jordan Davis.
Well, he's a freak, all right? But he's going to chase down anything. But can you explain to me the significance? I mean, to me, hey, tell me, can the guy make a pass or not? Does he have the arsenal to make the pass? I don't care about the size of his hand. Can you explain that to me?
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. I think it's a bunch of baloney, just like you do. But I think it's something the media has gone into and made it bigger than it is. I've never noticed his hands. His hand size, it's never in practice where I've said his hands are so small, there's no way he's going to be able to play for us. It's just a dramatic thing for the NFL, and they want to make something of something.
All right. Here's the part that I want to ask you about. About a year ago, you knew you were going to get this guy back to be your quarterback. He had thought about turning pro. He had had conversations with you. He had conversations with Mark Whipple, who at the time was your offensive coordinator. We touched on it in the fall. It ends up being potentially life-changing decision for him. You know, the success of your program is one thing, but the storyline of his decision process and his decision-making, how much carryover do you think that influence and that decision process playing out has impacted your team? Not just what happened on the field last year, but what it meant to the guys he played with and their processes going through this too.
You know, I think it definitely has been an impact on everybody. You know, you look at Carter Warren came back this year, starting left tackle. I think everybody in our program has looked at that and said, what a great business decision. Not only did it help us win an ACC championship, but it helped Kenny be probably a little bit more of a millionaire. How many more millions depends on where he goes into the NFL draft here in another month.
All right. Pat, you're not the defending ACC champ because they can't take that away from you. What you're looking to do, obviously, is win another one. How's the mindset changed for you, your staff, and the team coming back into spring knowing, hey, that box is checked, now let's move forward?
Really haven't talked about a mindset, kind of ignoring it right now. I think it really doesn't matter. We're going to have the same tough Pittsburgh attitude, want to be tough. We've got new guys and a new defense, a new offense. I think all those things just stay the same. Where are we going? How much better can we get? And our goal this spring is to get 3% better every day.
Yeah. I want to pivot a little bit to today's activities.
Turn it down.
Beyond Kenny Pickett. And one is your long snapper, Cal Adamitis. And the other is Damari Mathis. For Adamitis, what a terrific kid, number one, for not only what he does on the field but off the field. And the long-lost art of the long snap, as you know, this is one of these guys that he may not get drafted, Coach, and you and I know that, but he may play a long time at the next level because he's got a talent that not many in this world have.
Yeah, I mean, you look at Cal and Damari, both guys that were pro days and Senior Bowl down in Mobile. You know, Cal will snap for a long time. I think he'll get drafted, too. He'll be a guy that plays for a long time. And then Damari Mathis, watch out for his vertical jump today. He may be 45 inches plus. He's already run a 4.3, so you won't watch him run today. But those are two great players. As though, you know, you look at Taysir McElbee here today, Lucas Kroll, Phil Campbell, and John Patricia are both out there today. So those are some good players to watch today.
How much fun is this for you? I mean, this is the culmination of watching guys who've put in the effort, the sweat, the tears, the love, the disappointments, the championships. And now you see them getting ready to go, part of the job description to the next level. It's got to be cool as a coach today.
It is. It's a lot of fun. You know, we got spring ball going on. Our kids will be able to go out there and watch and see what's going on. I think that our kids will have fun watching. It's a throwback for watching our guys that have been gone for a couple months. They come back and put on a show. Keyshawn Camp's another guy that'll be back today. So it'll be fun to watch him. You know, it's kind of watching Kenny throw it again. I think our guys will enjoy it. It's great for the University of Pittsburgh.
Well, the other part, too, is Kenny's going to throw it to guys he knows, right? Trey Tipton's going to be out there. You got Melqui Stovall, I guess, is going to go through these drills today. So
yep.
The familiarity.
Taysir Mack as well.
Yeah, all that.
And Jordan
helps,
Addison's
right?
Jordan Addison's going to catch 10 balls. So he'll be out there, too, even though he's not showcased. He's allowed to do that by NCAA rules. It counts as a practice. He missed a practice because of Biletnikoff award winner. Went down to that thing in Tallahassee, so he gets to go today, too.
Wait a second. Hold on here. He gets to catch 10 balls, and it counts as a practice?
That's it, 10 balls. So he missed a practice, so I don't think I would have ever missed a practice for 10 balls, but we'll make it up, and he'll get his 10 balls in. His way of doing that is just to help Kenny. Kenny asked him to do it, and, Jordan's going to do whatever Kenny asks.
All right. I have another question. Have you been told that he can only catch 10? Is 10 the limit?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, we just made 10 the limit. Kenny said, hey, I need him to catch 10 deep balls. Okay. I don't think it'll be a 5-yard out. He wants a guy going down the field. It's all about timing for him.
You know, I think this Addison guy is going to be okay, Pat, don't you?
Yeah.
I think it's going to work out okay for old Jordan Addison. 10 balls.
I think Jordan Addison is going to be pretty good. Yeah. He's already pretty darn good.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to be an issue. Hey, I got to ask you a really serious question.
Oh, boy.
We've been asking all the coaches here the last, 2 months, and we haven't had a chance to really jump on the football guys yet because you guys are starting to get back in the business here for the spring games and stuff. But when it comes to walk-up music for you personally, what's the song to get you energized in the mornings? What's the song? Game day?
You said a wake-up or walk-up?
Walk-up.
What is walk-up?
Walk-up means, hey, you're coming through the tunnel. You know, you're coming to practice. What's the song that maybe playing in your ear or something you hear to get you absolutely fired up?
My team gets me fired up. I don't need music.
No. I'm not letting you get by with
no.
it.
No.
Okay.
Come on.
You're a veteran. This
okay. I mean, there's all kinds of music.
All right.
So I'm going to throw some AC/DC on. I mean, our team comes out to Thunderstruck. I mean, Back in Black, Hell's Bells. Let's go.
That's it.
How about a little Scorpions, Hurricane?
Oh, there you go. See? Yeah.
You got it. Amen. You're all
Rocky like a Hurricane.
Nice. Yeah. There you go.
Noted. It's been noted.
You did well.
I know you guys are a lot older. I know you're a lot older than me, but maybe you still remember that music.
Now, listen, let's reach back there. Let me show you what some guy who's a artist did this for us and knows how much that I do love AC/DC. So they did this right here. Look at this.
Wow. I need to get one. I need to be in the back somewhere. I'll be in the background.
So if you don't think
we Highway to Charlotte.
Yeah, that's it. If you don't think we don't know anything about a little AC/DC, you would be mistaken on that one, Coach.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Hey, thanks for the time this morning. See you later with EJ Manuel. Looking forward to covering this today.
Sounds great. Appreciate you having me on today, guys.
You got it.
Hail to Pitt.
Pat Narduzzi. When we come back, I just knew it was going to be AC/DC.
Nothing wrong with that.
No, and it all sounds the same, though. Anyway, when we
rude.
When we come back, we examine a little deep dive on the women's play. Louisville's already advanced to the Sweet 16, and Muffet McGraw takes us through what to expect maybe today as the second round draws to a completion after this. Power Hour on ACCN.
Packer and Durham.